Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 17 of the K-Pop Weekly Podcast with Emily Mallon. I'm your host. I'm so happy you joined me this week. I have a fun show for you. We're going to talk about the ladies of NMIX. NMIX had a big release last week. I can't wait to talk about it. Even a group that I said was kind of one to watch, an underrated group, they had their first ever comeback. And there's a little bit of controversy here I'm going to get into. And Huey from Pentagon had a big solo release. I'm going to give you my full review of all three of those releases, plus a lot of K-pop news, a lot of stuff going on this week. So I'm not going to spend too much time at the beginning of the show. I want to say a massive thank you to everyone who supported last week's episode. I feel like Fandom Face Off is my baby. I'm so proud of that segment. The second one between A2NE and Engin went so, so well. I want to thank Meg, Paul, and Bethany again for their contributions. They all knocked it out of the park. It was a fantastic show. If you haven't seen it, if you haven't listened to it, please check out episode 16. It was a lot of fun. And A2NE were the big winner. Meg came through for a tease. So Paul was really feeling them, but he also was into and hyping. I think it's kind of just comes down to personal taste and opinion at the end of the day. The next one, it's Blackpink versus Twice, Blinks, Onces. Let's go. Let's get it on. If you're a massive fan of either of those groups and you'd like to participate in Fandom Face Off, please shoot me an email, slide into the DMs, all of the contact info, my socials, my email listed in the description of this show. So if you're thinking that looked really fun, that sounded really cool, I wish I could be a part of it, join me. It's nice. It's positive. Even though it sounds, you know, Fandom Face Off like a war, it's really a kind of diplomatic conversation about the music we love and why we love it. So please don't be afraid. Come on the show. I'd love to have you. I'm interested how the girl group one is going to go. This is our first girl group battle. So don't let me down, fans. If you want to participate, slide into the email. I'd love to have you on the show. And again, thank you to everyone who watched last week. I also want to give a massive, massive, massive shout out and thank you to my Patreon subscribers. I finally got a Patreon up and I have some subscribers now. And that's just the coolest thing in the world. It makes me feel so, so, so happy. And honestly, like a little bit touched because I didn't have a Patreon. You know, we didn't do anything like that in the 3 years we did New York City K-Pop Queens. I was always a little scared that no one would support it. So to have all of you subscribe and join and want to be a part of this community and show me the support means the world. So thank you so, 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 so much. If you did subscribe, shoot me an email with their info. I want to give you a shout out on the show. That's part of the fun benefits of being a Patreon subscriber of K-Pop Weekly Podcast. Shoot me an email or DM me on the Patreon page. I need to know your name, where you're from, who's your favorite group, and who's your alt. We've got to talk biases. I'd love to give you a shout out on the show. If you don't want that, if you're more of a silent supporter, no harm in that. That's totally cool. No problem. No pressure. I just want to remind my supporters to go ahead and drop me a line. Let me know your name, where you're from, your favorite group, your favorite idol. So excited to have you. Thank you for joining. Speaking of our Patreon members, the polls are starting up. Every week, I'm going to have poll questions posted on Patreon. This is for subscribers only, so they have the power to decide. And it's going to be about stuff I talk about on the podcast, stuff that happened. Last week, there was one poll question, very cut and dry. One poll question because the episode was A2NE versus Engin. And I asked my Patreon subscribers, who do you think won Fandom Face-Off? Ooh, we've got some controversy here because the subscribers, 67% of you said Engin won and 33% said A2NE. So Paul picked A2NE. K-Pop Weekly Podcast subscribers picked Engin. I'm not going to tell you who I picked. I hinted at it in my newsletter last week. If you're not reading the newsletter, click on the link. check the newsletter. Really, the newsletter is just my thoughts on this week's episode. A little more personal, kind of talking about how the show is produced, my opinions on stuff, a little more behind the scenes and personal. That is free. So please read the newsletter. Jump on into this whole world I'm creating. Speaking of, the merch is coming so soon. The store will be up and I'm creating some really cool stuff for you guys. Of course, there will be K-pop weekly merch, but there's also going to be some group merch, some K-pop artist merch for the fans that I think you'll be excited about. So keep an eye on the space. I'm hoping to get that up in the next couple weeks, just waiting for my last samples. I don't want to release anything to you that I haven't seen and approved. I don't want you to get like a scratchy t-shirt or something that isn't high quality. So that's why this is taking me a little bit longer, but it's coming. And Patreon subscribers get a discount. So another reason to go ahead and sign up, subscribe, and support. Also, while I'm talking about the amazing community, if anyone knows where I can get Korean lessons, a Korean tutor, reach out. Please reach out. I desperately need to learn. I'm not very good with self-guided language study. I haven't been able to really retain it very well. I think I need to step it up. So if you know where I can find a great tutor, classes around the Los Angeles area, please slide into my DMs and let me know. I want to fix my horrific pronunciation. So I'm working on it. But again, thank you so much to everyone that subscribed. You know, like, this week, there's been so many layoffs in media. The LA Times lost over 100 people in their newsroom. I know that Time laid people off, National Geographic, Sports Illustrated. There's just so much happening. Pitchfork, a lot is happening in media where people are losing their jobs. It's hard out here. Creating content is hard. Journalism is hard. So anyone who's doing this, I salute you. I'm in the fight with you. Thank you. That's why your support means so much. It means so much. When you like what a creator's doing, if you can throw a couple of dollars their way every month, it's the difference between groceries sometimes. This is a hard gig. So thank you to everyone who supports. So just a little aside, it's hard out here in this world. It's hard to be a journalist. It's hard to be a podcaster. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and maybe not a lot of financial rewards. So when you do support, when you do contribute, it means the world. So I thank you all so, so much. If you'd like to join the Patreon, the link's in the description. Enough babbling for me. I want to get into these reviews because these are three very different artists. I try to do that when the lineup allows. Let's start things off with the ladies of NMIX. NMIX are a 6-member girl group formed by Squad Entertainment. That's a subsidiary of JYP. And they debuted in 2022, which blew my mind when I was confirming their debut date for this episode, because it seems like they're still babies to me. Like, I remember their debut. I feel like they're still new. They debuted in 2022. We're coming up on 2 years for the ladies of NMIX. Where does time go? The new album, they gave us 7 songs, and it's called FE304 Break. I'm not sure if that FE304 is pronounced a certain way. I'm not going to try it, speaking of my horrible pronunciation. But they gave us 7 new songs, 2 pre-release tracks. That seems to be kind of the trend in K-pop now, right? So 2 pre-release tracks, Sonar Breaker and Run for Roses. But the title track, the single off this album, is called Dash. Let's talk about Dash. Okay. I like the bass line in this one. That pre-chorus is so freaking cool. Some real character in the vocals here. Haewon's tone is lovely. Kyujin sounds great. I've got to say, I love when Bae comes in. I love when Bae comes in. Her kind of jazzy vocals, it's a really interesting melody, and I loved her voice. Lily kills it too. I mean, they all do. Like, NMIX can sing. If there's one thing you take away from this review, NMIX can sing. And not just one of them, not with auto-tune. All of these members can sing. And I think in this song and this album, they really showed that off. I was so impressed with the vocals. You know, I'm a whore for vocals. Love it. Absolutely love their voices. With Dash, to be honest, the chorus was kind of my least favorite part because you have great vocals and the chorus is more of kind of that sing or talk chanting Dash, I want a Dash type thing. I will say with the cool instrumentation, I get why they did that. So I think the talk singing works on the chorus. It just isn't like my favorite thing, but it did grow on me. Bridge switch up. That bridge switch up is great. Seleyun, I hear you. Oh, girl, you sound great. And there's some really good harmonies throughout. This is one of those songs, the more you listen, the more you enjoy it. It musically, there's a lot going on here. It's jazzy. There's horns. There's a sophistication that maybe isn't appreciated enough. To me, this is the best vocal girl group. I really think they're the vocal girl group of the fourth and fifth gen. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I love a few other groups. Of course, we know there's a couple members in aespa that can sing live, but the tones, the richness, the character of the voices of the members of NMIX really stand out to me. I think these girls can sing. If you listen to the show, if you watch the show, this you've heard this a million times. But when it comes to girl groups, I appreciate a more R&B, lower tone. So any group that has that, I'm obviously going to be a little bit happier with than the really high stuff. But I think member for member, if you're going to do six female vocalists, all six of these girls can sing. And I can't think of another group where the vocalists could stack up against NMIX from like the fourth or fifth generation. Boy groups, yes. Girl groups, I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested to hear your take. Maybe I'll do a poll question around this, but I'm not sure who the girl groups would be from the fourth or fifth generation who vocally can stand up to these ladies. Really impressive. I liked this song, you guys. I liked it. And if you've been listening to me from my New York City K-pop queen days, when NMIX debuted, I wasn't crazy about the debut, you know? I was one of those people that was like, ooh, there's a lot going on here and I don't know if it works. I wasn't sure if it worked. I was kind of like, I don't know. I'm not sure about this group. With this comeback, they have won me over. I think Dash is brilliant and it will grow on you. I swear, give it a listen. There's so many interesting elements. They do a massive switch up, which really works. It's kind of light and bright and fun. I really like Dash. I like this song. If you've maybe only seen like the dance challenges, there's tons of dance challenges with this one, right? The chorus is the weakest part, in my opinion. Give the song a chance. Give the album a listen. But before we get to the album, before we get to all the other good songs, I want to talk about the music video. Okay, there's a dark feel here. They're like trapped somewhere. It's dark. It's dark, they're trapped. And then Lily starts walking with dynamite and like throws the dynamite, like they're escaping this dark tower that someone's holding them captive in. I will say the styling's great. In the beginning, they're all wearing black and white outfits. I think it's cool, it's fun. It felt young and fresh with that darker tone mixed in. Hard to describe, but I think it really worked. I specifically liked, I believe it was Bae was wearing this like black and white rugby shirt. I loved it. It was so cute. I'm a huge fan of kind of a tomboy thing. This group mixes femininity and tomboy really well. They interchange the concepts really well. Loved the styling. And I actually loved the styling throughout the music video. The all black outfits worked well. When they do that switch up and they're in the pastels, all of it. The styling was great. So once they get to the second verse, they're outside of like the scary tower. Things are a little brighter. I think there may be superheroes. You know, they're running fast. They're doing some stuff that shows they're kind of creating chaos in this outside world. Still black and white outfits. But then when they do the switch up, they're kind of like floating above that scene. They're in the clouds and they're wearing really cute pinks and pastels. It works. It all works. Like the music video goes with the song. It goes with the tone of the song. It really matches the feel of the song, which I always appreciate because like you would think that always happens, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you have such an image in your head and then you watch the music video and it's like, oh no, this doesn't go with what I'm hearing. This one does. This is very well executed. I will say I love the choreography. They're really talented dancers. You see that here. This works. This works. I'm a massive, massive fan of this. The whole thing really works. I think the group is doing a fantastic job. This is a very strong release. And this should bring in some outsiders, some people like me who maybe didn't consider them fans of NMIX. I think this has mass appeal. So again, if you never watch or listen to them, or maybe if you were like me and you really weren't feeling it, give this comeback a chance. Music video, song are great. Now I want to talk about the rest of the album though, because they gave us 7 songs. So my album picks from this new NMIX release, Run for Roses, Passion Fruit, and Break the Wall. Let's talk about Run for Roses. I think this is the standout track on the album for me. It was a pre-release. Okay, that opening is haunting. What? Talk about like grabbing someone's attention, grabbing my ear. I thought the opening was stunning. It was so cool. And it made me lean in. Like, what is happening? What is going on here? I need to hear more. I love the guitar riff. It's a really different sound. And it's very different for K-pop because it's bluesy. It's country. Like the fiddle coming in shocked me. A fiddle in K-pop? You don't hear that often. And here it actually worked. But then that chorus came out of nowhere. The chorus comes out of nowhere. It's a really interesting melody. There's parts that almost sound flat. The whole thing, it's interesting and I found it to be addictive. And I love when the melody is not predictable. I love when a song goes somewhere else and it works. This one works. And out of every song on this album, that one has stuck in my head the most. I love it. I keep going back to it. I think it's a fantastic song. I chose Passion Fruit because I really like the pre-chorus of this one. There's a part where the vocal melody and the music, the instrumentation match. I like that. I think that's always kind of a fun little element in a song. And this one has a very fresh, cute feeling. I like the vibe here. Catchy chorus. This one feels young and fun, poppy. It works very well. And then my last one was Break the Wall. Perfect ender. This is a perfect album ender. Instead of like a cheesy ballad, NMIX gave us this uplifting pop track. They end things on a triumphant note. This is like the happy ending soundtrack song. You know, I love those songs that you can picture when things have ended well and groups of friends are like walking down the street happy. This is that type of song. I like that feeling. It put a smile on my face. It made me feel like I just want to race or something. It's just, I like it. It's cute, but it's not so cutesy, like to a nauseating extent. I don't do cutesy that well. And this is just good. It's just good music. It's time for my rankings from NMIX's latest album, FE304 Break. They gave us 7 songs. This is from least favorite to favorite, but I've got to say, I really, really, really liked this project. I don't think there's a song on here that's bad. This is by far my favorite NMIX release. So with that said, at number 7, Boom. Number 6 was Sonar Breaker. Number 5, XOXO. Number 4, Passion Fruit. Number 3, Break the Wall. Number two was Run for Roses. It was very close. I love, 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 love that song. But my number one song, it was the right choice for the title track. The energy is there and the vocal performance was deadly. I loved it. Dash is my number one song from this NMIX release. I liked this release, you guys. I really, really, really liked it. I'm a big fan of NMIX now. All of a sudden, I feel really passionate and really, really into this group. So check them out if you haven't listened to NMIX. It may not be for everyone. I feel like in their songs, there's a lot of switch-ups. There's some different sounds. But they're really, really talented. And they're cute. They're likable. They're fantastic dancers. Watch their It's Live. I love that because I like to watch performers sing and see which of these groups can sing and which ones can't. Their It's Live is great. It's great. And it made me like them even more. Speaking of liking them, my bias and bias wrecker. Okay. So at KCON this year, Sully Yoon really stood out to me. I thought she was so beautiful. Just like the, if you could say like a cookie cutter, beautiful K-pop idol, she is it. She's gorgeous. And she had really good performance. I thought, oh my God, she's my bias. But in this comeback, I really like Kyujin. There's something about her personality, her energy that grabs me. I think she's so likable. Of course, Lily is very, very likable. She has a great personality when they're not performing. If you watch interviews of NMIX, I think Lily is a star. Vocally, she's a star. And then Bae, come through, Bae. Bae was fantastic on this comeback. It's hard to pick a wrecker and a bias because they're all really talented and they all steal attention for different reasons. For this comeback, Kyujin was my bias. And my girl Sully Yoon is going to be wrecker, but it's close. They're all super talented. I was excited to get on air and talk about this this comeback this week. Really, really good. Really, really good. And I feel like in the world of K-pop recently, and specifically with girl groups, the how do I say it? Vocally, I've been yearning for more. I think vocally, I'm not impressed with a lot of the biggest K-pop girl groups. I think there's a lot of studio tricks, and it all sounds very basic. And when you see them live, there's a lot of lip syncing. So I've been a little down on the girl groups. I haven't been impressed, and I haven't been feeling really excited. And then NMIX came out with this one, and thank you. Thank you, NMIX, because this is so good. This is what I was craving from the younger girl groups, and finally I got it. I really, really love this. I highly, highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Like, I'm so excited about this group. I'm so passionate. And one of you asked if I was going to review this week. You know, you're always welcome to ask me to review your favorite groups. If there's something you're passionate about, I want to hear it too. Make sure that it's on my radar. I will say Patreon subscribers get preferential treatment in that regard. Patreon subscribers come first for review requests. So that's something to keep in mind if you want to subscribe. But I'm always open to hearing your requests. If you think, oh, wait, these girls can sing too, or whatever, let me know. Slide into the DMs, shoot me a message, join the Patreon. I love it when you guys suggest it. But when I saw that it was a tweet said, are you going to review NMIX? I wanted to be like, hell yeah, I am. I'm so excited about this. This is a great, great, great album, and I highly recommend it. So thank you, NMIX, for bringing me a girl project that I'm passionate about, that I actually really like and enjoy. You killed it. You guys killed it. I'm so excited to be an NMIX fan now. Now I'm really going to like get into this group, go back and listen to stuff, watch the live performances. Yeah, NMIX is good. And I will say at KCON, they were good. At KCON, they were like one of my standouts. My standout girl group at KCON was Kepler. I really fell in love with Kepler. I just enjoy them. But I did think that NMIX was exciting and brought something different to the table. And now I'm a fan. So congratulations, ladies. Amazing comeback. Really, really cool. Run for Roses is in my head right now. And Dash. Check out this comeback if you haven't. Let's move on. It's time to talk about Huey. If you don't know who Huey is, he debuted in 2016 under Cube Entertainment with the boy group Pentagon. I am a massive, massive, massive fan of Pentagon. Huey is the main vocalist. He's the leader. He's that dude. That's a really talented group that produces and writes a lot of their material. Huey has been heavily involved in that. And he gave us a solo project. So it's called Who Is Me Complex. It's four songs. It's an EP. And the single is Hmm Bop. Okay, first of all, what a similar name to that Hanson song. So you're going to get those comparisons right away. It sounds nothing like Hmm Bop. Hmm Bop with an H is very different than Hmm Bop with an M from Hanson. This one's more funky. It's kind of a dance track, shades of Bruno Mars. It also really reminded me of Crush and J-Hope's Rush Hour. The verses, okay. How am I going to put this on? The verses were kind of a letdown for me compared with the music in the chorus. And I think maybe that's because the song structure is a little unconventional. So it took me a second to find the chorus, which probably isn't a good sign. Really interesting music choices, like that little pause and then the pop sound in the middle of the chorus. It's certainly different and it's very ambitious, but I'm not sure if it works. It didn't really work for me. And I hate saying that because there's elements that are so good. Like the last minute of the song is my favorite, where it finally just gets to kind of go and have fun, the prolonged fun of that. I loved that part, but I feel like this is a case of less is more, right? Like a lot of times you need to peel some elements back. And I think this is an example of it. The chorus could be catchy and fun. This chorus is so close to really, really working. Let it be the star and peel back all the switch-ups, peel back the clever production elements. I don't think we needed a pause and a pop in the middle of the chorus. When you do that, you lose momentum. You know, think about like, okay, so this is a dance song. Think about dancing to it and you're grooving to it. And then all of a sudden it stops and there's this weird pop sound and then you're back in the groove. It doesn't feel natural. It's a little bit awkward. And again, sometimes that stuff can work. But I think here there was just a little bit too much. So unfortunately, this song isn't my favorite. I wanted to like it. I wanted to like it so bad. And I will say he's doing a lot of dance challenges. And the part that plays during the dance challenge is the part I'm talking about, like that last minute. Great. If that was what the whole song was like, this is good. But unfortunately, it gets a little muddy and there's some stuff that doesn't work. So I didn't love the song. Let's talk about the music video. The music video is what you would expect. It's bright. It's fun. I love his pink hair. I think he's really diving into this concept. And it really matches the tone and the vibe. It's very joyful. He kind of starts at a diner. And he's livening the place up, bringing color and fun and, you know, some funk to the space. Then he goes to like a stuffy dinner. And by the end of it, the old people are up dancing with him. He's a marionette at one point. There's some cool choreography there. He's an aerobics instructor. I mean, this man is just working nonstop to bring fun and joy and a bop to the world. I think it works. I think it's fun. It's lighthearted. There's a lot going on. And yeah, the music video works. There's nothing in this that I was like, ew, I hate it. No, it totally works. This is fun. This is what a song like this should have. It was a fun music video. I think he pulled it off. A lot of fun elements, you know, lighthearted. Everything doesn't have to be so serious. And in K-pop, it's nice when we kind of get these random fun things. Like he's definitely not taking himself too seriously, right? There's a part where he's in space. It's just saying like, where else can we put this? Where else can we put this scene, this vibe? I'm not mad at it at all. I think the music video works well. I just wish I would have loved the song a little bit more. Speaking of songs, let's get to my album picks. He gave us four songs. My standout track is A Song from a Dream. This features Woosok from Pentagon. He is one of my favorite members. He is so, so talented. He's their youngest member, but along with Huey and Kino, he writes and produces so many songs. He's like a super talent. Also very interesting vocal tone. So he's on this song with Huey. I love the emotional intensity in this one. Like, the stakes are high. They're a great duo together. Their tones and harmonies work really well. You have that natural, gruff, lower voice. You know, Woosok can sing. He's also a rapper in that group, and he has a lower tone. And then Huey goes so high. Their harmonies blend really well together. These two actually work very, very well together. This song is kind of a pop rock sound. The chorus is pretty and passionate, but that bridge, oh my God, that bridge gave me chills. The bare vocal and then those harmonies, wow. Wow. Highlight of the project by far. Like, this is the song on the project. It's gorgeous. It's stunning. And I think it shows off a little bit more of what Huey can do, not knocking him at all for wanting to do something fun and funky and lighthearted. But I think as a vocalist and as an artist, he brings so much substance to the table. And you get more of that in this song. You get more of it in A Song from a Dream than you do in a bop. So, you know, everyone has different tastes, but this was by far my favorite song on the project. It's time for my rankings from Who Is Me Complex, the new project from Huey. He gave us four songs. This is from least favorite to favorite. Number four, Cold Killer, featuring Huey Jinhyuk. Number three was Mellow, featuring Park Hyunjin. My number two song was Bop. It has some elements I like. It just didn't quite get there. So my number one song, and I've got to say by far the best song on this album, A Song from a Dream featuring Woosok from Pentagon. This is the best song. I love this song. Check this one out. This project feels like an experiment with mixed results. It's not bad. I just wanted to peel away some of the production and effects because when you have a voice like his, less is more. We didn't need the crazy distractions and the really all the production things. But I understand as an artist wanting to try new stuff and wanting to kind of put different elements in. So I'm not knocking that at all. I congratulate you, Huey. Some of it just didn't work as well for me. Doesn't mean it's bad. And A Song from a Dream is a hit. Let's move on because there's a lot to talk about with this one. Okay. The boys of Even have released a new EP. This is their first comeback ever. EVNNE is how you spell the group. They're a seven-member boy group who debuted on Jellyfish Entertainment last year, 2023. These were guys from a reality show. It's actually the competition show that put together Zero Base One. These members didn't quite make that group, and then they were formed into a new group from a different company. Very smart. And I want to start out this review with saying I like Even. I included them on my year-end list of groups that I think are slept on and kind of deserved more credit from 2023. I thought their debut was fantastic. This is my type of music, kind of my visually, it's what I vibe with more. They gave us five songs, and the EP is called Unseen. I want to talk about this before I even get into the music. Okay. So here's the issue, and I'm guessing a lot of Mom Bebe have already noticed it. It's called Unseen, and Hyungwon and Shownu, a subunit from Monsta X, they released an album last year called The Unseen, and the promotional images are almost like identical. Identical. It's like the same, almost exactly the same blue color, unseen, the unseen. It just looks very, very similar. And, you know, the timing, that album didn't come out all that long ago. So clearly it was fresh in the heads of Jellyfish Entertainment, I guess. But it's a little suspect. I think it is. It's a little obvious. And I think Mambebe have a right to kind of call foul on this. This does seem to me like whoever did the design for this album blatantly copied Monsta X. And unfortunately, that's nothing new in the world of K-pop. Monsta X, in my opinion, are the most influential boy group in the last decade. And everyone copies them and everyone draws their inspiration from them. You look at any of the idol groups who don't do the cute schoolboy thing, they're doing Monsta X. They're doing Monsta X. Monsta X are trailblazers. Don't get me started on their English album, which came way before BTS, by the way. Monsta X are trailblazers. And I'm not saying they're the first one to do an English song, but what they did in the K-pop space is so underappreciated by the general public when all these other groups blatantly copy them. They copy their style, their look, their sound, and now they're literally copying the design of their album, the name of their album. So, you know, I'm a huge Monsta X fan, but I think even if I wasn't a fan, when you see these albums side by side, it feels really obvious. It's bad enough that the name is The Unseen, and then this one's called Unseen. Don't take the actual design that literally. Make yours red instead of that exact color blue. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways to make it not so obvious that you're biting the style of the Monsta X album, but they didn't. So I think I have to call it out. And it's a shame because I'm not hating on the group at all. These seven guys have no say in any of this. They're not the ones making the creative decisions. They're the talent that is showing up and putting in a great performance. So this is not a knock on the members of EVEN at all. I'm going to talk about the album. I think there's some good songs here, but I don't feel like I would be authentic to not mention it when it's something that I notice so blatantly. So who knows if this will be an issue. I doubt Starship will take up for Monsta X and do anything because let's be real, in the past, they haven't done a lot. I think Monsta X is one of the most disrespected K-pop groups out there, period. I could talk about this literally all night. And I'm going to, because there's a specific song that sounds exactly like a Monsta X song. So the inspiration doesn't stop at the album design, but let me get to the single. Let's get to the actual project. I don't want to be unfair to EVEN because, again, this isn't the fault of the guys, but we've got to talk about when it's so blatant. Okay. The single was called Ugly. So let's talk about Ugly. I actually like this concept, like get ugly. I like it. There's some grit. There's some dirtiness there. There's this kind of driving electronic beat. The pre-chorus shows off the vocalists, and I like the chorus. I like that get ugly, the lyrics. I will say, though, the chorus doesn't quite get there for me until the second part when the vocals come in. You know, like, this, yeah, we slay, so slay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it does, it's just kind of whatever. It's not bad, it's not good, it's whatever. But the vocal part and the second part of the chorus, I think works really well. It's good. My favorite part, however, my favorite part in the whole song is in the second verse, and there's a part that says, I'll be with you, ooh, ooh. Right? It's very simple, but it's a really nice moment of vocal control. So I want to give a shout out. That's Hanbin. Nice control there, my dude. Like that sounded really, really good. I liked that the melody and just that choice of those like couple notes.
Yeah, that was good. I really, really liked that part. The bridge is kind of traditional K-pop bridge. This isn't a bad song. It's not a bad song, but I think there's other songs on this project that are better. Like, it didn't grab me like that debut. It didn't grab me. It was kind of just there. And the chorus was a little meh. I think the beat is great. And when I listen to it, because what happens with me, and this is before I see the album artwork, like I'm not, the first thing I do is just listen to the title track. That's the first thing I do. I listen to the album front to back. When I'm reviewing anything, I just put on the album and listen from 1 to 4, 1 to 7, however many songs there are. Then I look, wait, what was the title track? Usually I can figure it out, but sometimes it's shocking and you're like, wait, what? And then I re-listen to the title track a few times. I watch the music video. But when I listened to this one, I kept thinking, this song was made to dance. This song was made for them to have like powerful choreography in the chorus, which is fine. But I think the producers need to understand that there are people who just listen, who maybe aren't about the visual aspect. I know that's such a major part of K-pop, and I love that. But you have to make sure the songs are good and the song structure works. This one just didn't quite, it left a lot to be desired. So I want to talk about the music video, however, because the music video is infinitely better than the song. This is a great music video. The visuals kind of match that feel. It's gritty. It's dark. It's cool. They've got cuts and bruises on their face. These are bad boys. We get it. The styling is great. Suits, black outfits. They look handsome. There's a story. It looks like they're being held somewhere and they're trying to escape. That's a theme of tonight's show, isn't it? These idols are being held in these dark places. Then they use like superpowers to escape. NMIX and EVEN should have this like cross world thing. So anyways, they're like stuck somewhere and then they have special powers and they kind of like freeze time and do all this stuff and get out of wherever they are. I like the dance sequence in front of the convenience store. There's a part where they're like in front of a convenience store and they're dancing and it's just really, it's fun. It's it feels fresh. I like the snow. And the convenience store is called Ugly Duckling, which really resonated with me. I thought, what a great name and kind of imagery for this group, because they were the runner-ups. You know, they weren't the winner. They didn't make the band. They aren't in the group. They're maybe the late bloomers, but sometimes the late bloomers end up on top. So I thought that that was very interesting to see that wording in the background. But mainly, I just loved the choreography. And just like I pictured, the chorus has great choreography. These are very good dancers, and they executed really well. This, to me, was an example where the music video and the performance stages, performance videos, make me like the song a lot more. Their performance and their visuals won me over, so I like the song more now. Still not my favorite, but yeah, the visuals help a lot in K-pop. Let's talk about my album picks. They gave us 5 songs. So my standout tracks were Syrup and Festa. Syrup, I might have made the single. I really, really liked this one. The pre-chorus in this has this kind of harmony part that's really cool and different and grabs you. I loved the harmonies there. I also like the bad, bad, bad taste. There's some attitude and swag in like that rap delivery that I buy. A lot of switch-ups in the production of this song, but they work. This one feels done compared to Ugly. It feels more polished, more finished, and the production elements work. And I don't know if it's the mixing. There's something here that just feels a little bit better, for lack of a better word. I would have made Syrup the single over Ugly. I like this song. Let's talk about Festa. Okay. This is going to be a little spicy tonight. The beginning of Festa sounds exactly the same as the beginning of Monsta X's 2021 release, Ride With You. So if you listen to the song, go look it up. I'm going to put it on my playlist. Playlist is for subscribers. It will be on this week's playlist. If you listen to the song, and I will put these songs back to back for you, listen to the beginning of Festa and listen to the beginning of Ride With You for Monsta X. They are identical, if not nearly identical. So the team, the creative team behind Even are clearly Mon Bebe. Although I'm not sure if you're a Mon Bebe, if you blatantly take from them like this, the album design and this song. I mean, it's like exactly. And then it goes into a totally different sound. So they could have just left that out. Like it doesn't, the rest of the song doesn't sound like it. So just leave that out. You didn't need that as the opener. Monsta X already did it. The rest of the song really reminded me of NCT. It's very NCT coded. I mentioned that during their debut. I think that's why I vibe with this group. I love NCT. Huge compliment for me. And being like Monsta X is a huge compliment. You just can't do it so blatantly. It's one thing to draw inspiration. It's another thing to copy. There's a clear line. That said, I like it. I mean, obviously, I'm a Monsta X fan. And there's a real NCT feel once you get out of that intro. This reminds me of like the second half of an NCT album. They'll have something that sounds a little more light and fun. Festa is like a good mood song. It's a great song. I really genuinely like this song. It was my favorite song off the album by far. I think it's like really a good vibe, a good feel for them. This is a good song. It's time for my rankings from Even's new EP, Unseen. This is from least favorite to favorite. They gave us 5 songs. My number 5 song is Chase. My number 4 song is KO. I liked the intro in that song. My number 3 was the title track, Ugly. Number 2 was Syrup. I probably would have made this the single. I think it's a little bit stronger than Ugly. And my number 1 song, by far the best song on this album. I loved it. Festa. That's my countdown. Congratulations to Even for this comeback. I think there's some good stuff here. And maybe I'm being too hard. I mean, you guys tell me, maybe I'll make this a poll question or just let me know what you think. Did you hear and see the similarities to Monsta X, or am I just being kind of an overprotective fan of them? Maybe because I'm so familiar with Monsta X, it's like always in my head and I'm seeing this stuff that the average Mon Bebe wouldn't notice or K-pop fan. Let me know. I don't want to be a jerk and bring, you know, cause drama or cause controversy. But again, I also think when you see something, you need to call it out. You need to hold people accountable. And I know being a creative, if I put something out there and someone goes and copies my idea, I really appreciate it when somebody else points it out, when I don't have to be the one to say, hey, wait a minute, that was my idea and you totally stole it from me. Before I move on, though, I want to talk about bias and record, because when I initially reviewed this group, when I talked about how kind of I liked their debut and I hope that they get more attention in 2024, I didn't pick a bias or record. I've got my bias now. My bias, Jungyeon. Oh my goodness. Yes. Yes. Like, I noticed him so much. I noticed him in Trouble. Like, he's a star. He steals so much attention. My records are kind of split because I love Hanbin. I think he's such a great kind of center when he's doing choreo. He has a real spark, a real light about him in front of the camera. But I've got to mention Sungyeon for his vocals. He vocally lights it up. And I remembered him from the Studio Choom performance of Trouble. He stood out a lot. And it wasn't just the blonde hair. Like, I like him too. So they've got a great rapper, Kieta, Japanese member. He's fantastic. There's a lot of talent in this group. So no shade, no hate to them at all. Just, you know, to the company, clean things up a little bit so you don't get accusations or you don't get fandoms mad at you. You can't do that and expect not a little bit of heat to come your way. And the members don't deserve it at all. So I want to make that clear. I like this group. I'm rooting for them. Just, you know, if there's any mom bebe out there who agree with me, let me know. Am I seeing things? Am I hearing things? Or do you see and hear the inspiration as well? Let's move on. It's time to talk about what's happened in K-pop since I last spoke with you last week. It's time for K-pop news. BKN announced 13 tour dates in Asia. The tour kicks off in March in Seoul. Oh, I hope he comes to the States. Can you imagine? I have seen him. I saw Super M. I was lucky enough to see Super M. Can I just say I miss Super M? I miss Super M so bad. I don't think we realized how good we had it. Although I was obsessed with Super M. Went to their concert, loved their albums and releases, but oh my God, like I really miss Super M. That's just an aside. But Baekhyun's back, you guys. Did you see the pictures from his fan meet where he made everybody dress up as minions and he was wearing like big overalls and a yellow shirt? He was dressed as a minion as well. He wasn't Gru. I love him. How can you not like him? He has so much personality. Oh, please, 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 please come to the States. Please, Baekhyun, please come to LA. Please perform here. Oh my God. Can you guys imagine? Oof, I will die. I will die. That'll be it. A Baekhyun solo concert. I need that. And I need EXO. I've never seen EXO on tour. That I need to hear those vocals. But anyways, congratulations to everyone in Asia that gets to go to Baekhyun's concert. I'm not jealous at all. Okay, whatever. moving on. The ladies of La Seraphim have a comeback in February. They had a massive, massive year in 2023. Interested to hear what their new music sounds like. Speaking of new music, IU's new song and music video, Love Wins All, is out now. The music video features V from BTS. So all my army out there, I'm sure you've already watched it. If you haven't, check it out. It's like this epic, sweeping, dramatic story. And V has never looked better. So congratulations to him. Crazy Super Concert here in LA. They announced another date. Another date. It was supposed to be February 10th at BMO Stadium. Now it's February 9th and 10th. CL is headlining the 9th and has a lot of the same artists from the 10th, except Taeyang, the headliner on the 10th, won't be there. I mean, I'm already going, you know, I already plan to go. I think it's not the best when organizers do this. It's kind of unfair to the ticket holders that bought for the original date, not knowing another date would be added. And it's also less than a month away. So to announce something 3 weeks before in a stadium, if local people don't go, a lot of people for these big stadium shows are flying in from all over the world. So 3 weeks isn't enough time. People can't afford those last minute flights and hotels. So I think promoters need to maybe be a little more respectful of the fans. I don't know. It feels like as a K-pop fan, these promoters are taking advantage of us and it doesn't feel good. The economy is not great. People don't have tons of money. When you're charging $400 or $500 a ticket, I don't know. It just doesn't feel good. So it'll be interesting. I'm going to the show. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Y'all, there is drama, drama-rama, drama. There is a lot of drama going on in the DPR universe right now. I'm going to fill you in. Y'all know I'm the biggest fan of DPR. I love DPR Ian so much. I think he's a legend and he's so important in this music space. So here's what's happening. And it's nothing bad with DPR Ian, don't worry guys, or DPR Live. But DPR Live, or as you might know him, Danbin, he just released a new album. So he released a new album under Danbin instead of DPR Live. That's fine. He just felt like doing that. That's not the drama. The drama is in multiple songs, he talks about having money stolen from him, feeling betrayed, feeling like someone kept being like, oh, we're family, we're in this together. And he's talking about DPR Rem. So Rem left DPR last year. All of a sudden, he announced that he was stepping away from the team. And there wasn't a lot of like fanfare. The other guys didn't say anything, which was a little weird because normally you'd be like, oh, we're going to miss you. You know, you'll always be part of the family. There was like really nothing. So it was weird. It kind of felt like, what really happened here? So now a year later, Dan Ben releases this album that kind of states what happened. And it turns out he may have stolen money from them. And he also sneaked on to the production credits of DPR Ian's music. He put himself as a producer. So DPR Ian told us that this guy had nothing to do with any of his songs. He never produced or worked on any of his songs. That's just a blatant lie. He went on live and explained it. So, not looking good for DPRM. To be clear, he wasn't a creative on the team. His role was business manager. There are so many, like, there are so many shady people in this business. The average person would be shocked. Like, this is not rare at all that the business manager steals all the profits, puts his name as one of the creatives so he gets more money. Lou Pearlman, the manager of the Backstreet Boys, also had in the contracts that he was the sixth Backstreet Boy. So on top of his management fee, he was getting 1/6 of all their money on top of his already, 20% management fee. Like, these people are freaking greedy leeches, but I feel bad for them because that's such a betrayal for the rest of the DPR team. So not looking good for Rem, not looking good for Scott. Just don't do that. Just don't be shady. Just don't be shady. Come on. Anyways, wishing the best for the DPR team. The iHeart Music Award nominations were just released. And this year, they added 3 new K-pop categories. K-pop cannot be stopped, taking over the world. So here are the K-pop categories. Artist of the Year. The nominees are Idol, Jungkook, NCT Dream, 17 and Stray Kids. K-pop Song of the Year, you've Bouncy from AT's, S-Class from Stray Kids, Cupid from 50/50, 7 from Jungkook, and Super Shy from NewJeans. And then you have Best New K-pop Artist. So you have Boy Next Door, Rise, Zykers, Zero Base One, and then NewJeans, which I think is totally bizarre. Because NewJeans didn't debut in 2023. So like, what? And it's not like they even debuted at the end of 2022. That group debuted, I think it was like summer, like June or July of 2022. So to have them in the same category for Best New K-pop Artists with groups that actually debuted last year, that sucks. That's totally unfair. Whatever. Anyways, there were a lot of K-pop nominees though. So 3 new specific K-pop categories, but then K-pop artists were also in the general nominations, which I love to see. So Idol was included in the group duo category. Best music video included Jisoo and 2 Jungkook tracks. Fan Army category includes ATEEZ and ARMY. And Jungkook and V were included in the best debut album. Plus TikTok Song of the Year, 50/50 by Cupid is up for that award. And lastly, for music documentary, J-Hope in the Box was nominated. I just talked about that last week with Bethany. I love that documentary. If you have Disney Plus, watch it. Watch it, because J-Hope climbed up my bias list with his solo release and Lollapalooza and then that documentary. Well-deserved nomination there. So all of that K-pop goodness will come your way when the awards air on April 1st on Fox at 8 p.m. Eastern. Pletus debuted their new boy group, TWS, this week. So 17 have little brothers now. What do you guys think about that debut? Is it worth me reviewing? Do you want to hear my thoughts on them? Let me know. Let me know. I'm going to put up a bunch of poll questions on the Patreon. Speaking of, next week, Idol for sure will be reviewed. They made headlines this week with the music video for Wife. I'm sure some of you have seen it. You've listened to it. You have opinions. I have opinions. Dying to talk about their new album. There's also new music from AB6, from CIX. There's a lot of stuff out there. So I'm going to put up polls on who you'd like to hear me review. There's just going to be a lot of great content. So if you want to get involved, head over to the Patreon. If you can't afford a subscription, feel free to send me a message with your thoughts and opinions. Specifically, if you have a group you're dying to hear me review, Patreon subscribers do get preference for their review requests, but I listen to everyone. So don't be shy. And that's all I have for you. That's all I have for you this week. Thank you so much for listening and watching and joining me. I'm wondering your opinions. Any NMIX fans out there? And this Monsta X Even thing. Now I'm like, oh my goodness. I hope I'm not the only one who thinks that. Y'all are going to think I'm a crazy mom bebe, which I am. But I do love the guys of Even and I wish them the best. So again, no shade to them at all. Just something for their team to be aware of. I am so, so, so grateful for all of you listening, watching. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. I feel it. I feel good vibes. Thank you. I'm excited to be on this ride. I love talking about music. Specifically, I love K-pop. I will be K-pop's number one cheerleader for the rest of my life. This isn't a phase for me. Music is the universal language. I believe it's the strongest connector, and I'm excited to continue to connect with all of you through our love of music. I hope life is going well for you. And if it's not, I'm sending you positive vibes, a lot of love and light. I got you. I'll be here every week. So have a great week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it. I will talk to you next Friday. New episodes drop every Friday morning. I love you. Bye, friends.